across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Finally, he's not lying. We are from our Lake Wissota studio. Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the state of Common Sense, where it's another beautiful day up north on this Thursday, August 3rd. And I can say that from personal experience up here in Chippewa Falls, where it is 72 degrees. Folks listening on our home base, 93.5 The Tap. It is a humid, muggy, or foggy one across much of Wisconsin. Several places reporting humidity in the 90s, or like Waukesha, 100% and 64 degrees. Eagle River, 100% humidity and 62 degrees. Prairie du Chien's coming in at 68. Stevens Point, 68. La Crosse, 71 degrees. Nice to have you here all along the Civic Media Radio Network. Here's what's on tap this morning. It is time to unrig those maps, because the numbers don't lie. Wisconsinites support things like voting rights, greater health care access, legal marijuana, gun safety measures. They support these things by huge margins. So what's standing in the way? Rigged maps that have led to a legislature operating with disdain for what most people in Wisconsin want. So we are going to review the first legal step taken this week with the change in control of the state Supreme Court to slay gerrymandering in Wisconsin. We'll talk to Joe Zepecki a little later this hour. Hometown Health is back at 7:30 on this Thursday, where we will talk about the healthy kinds of biker gangs. We will look at the benefits of bikes, bicycles, bike lanes, pedestrian areas. That's because the urban planners of the 20th century wrote pretty much all of their blueprints around the needs of the automobile. But now communities are realizing that for, you know, a greater sense of community, greater access by individual people, we've got to bring people together in common areas and in green space. And, you know, you can still have your car, but the car doesn't have to go everywhere. And it's not just good for the air, but for community health on the whole. And so Dr. Kristen Lyerly will talk to us about that. And we'll visit with Luke Mathers as well before the show ends to find out what else is happening along the Civic Media Radio Network. Along the way, our phone line is 844-967-2789. And if you haven't written that number down yet, you should do so, because we're giving away Milwaukee Brewers tickets later this hour. 844-967-2789. And I can tell you, just as I told Aaron, without either one of us goofing up and giving up the answer, it is a Milwaukee Brewers trivia question in a way, but it's pretty much a guess. So unless you happen to know probably the one page on a website where to find this information, there's going to be a lot of guesswork involved in this. Although I guess I will say, can I give him a little note, a little hint, Aaron?
Well, that's up to you.
Okay. Because you folks are listening bright and early, you're going to get this hint. Our question will involve pieces of meat wearing running shoes. And that's really all I can say about that. So Aaron will take your calls and some good guesses, I hope, along the way. Muggy down there this morning?
A little bit, yeah. It's not too bad.
Mm-hmm. This will be the hottest day of the end of the week. I don't know if you count Thursday as the weekend, but it'll still be warm Friday. There'll be changes on Saturday and even more chances of rain on Sunday. We'll get the full updated forecast from Jennifer Wojcicki from Weatherology coming up. Can we tell that even though Pat's back home and thought I knew I wouldn't be 100% back to health yet, but clearly there's still some potholes in the road back to public health, back to good health.
Yeah. And now I think somehow, I don't know, I didn't know you could transfer sickness through the internet, feel like I'm coming down with something now.
Well, there is that kind of, I don't know, summer crud, you know, that has been going around. And even though I blamed my granddaughter, it could have been any of those other snot-nosed brats at the water park where we were at early on in our family staycation together. So, yeah, somebody had to get it. So I did. My older daughter did. You did. A few other people are getting it. And hopefully hopefully it doesn't last too terribly much longer because, yeah, this is getting old. The newsletter for Up North News comes out every weekday at about 5 a.m., as it did this morning, and it is all about the Wisconsin State Fair, which kicks off today in the Milwaukee suburb of West Allis. I saw them setting up as I was driving home from Milwaukee yesterday afternoon. And so the newsletter has a link to a Facebook post, which is a photo slideshow of the Wisconsin State Fair through the decades. So you can see what it looked like in the early parts of the 20th century and all the way through the current day. Also, you'll find a link in there to a story where our Selena Heller talked to a man in Black River Falls whose pumpkins absolutely loved the recent heat wave. You will see the photos from 4 days apart showing more than 200 pounds of growth in one of those particular pumpkins. So you'll want to take a look at that. As I was looking at headlines, I see that up in Oneida County, the Minocqua Brewing Company tap room was in fact shut down by county officials for what I would consider the equivalent of a broken taillight. The kind of selective enforcement of the law, if you will, that is rooted in disdain for the person driving the car, or in this case, operating the tap room. So we should be looking for more perhaps legal machinations on that as the weeks and months go by. We'll take a break here. We'll talk about more headlines in the news coming up on Up North News Radio for this Thursday. We'll be right back. This is the city. Washington, D.C. Where the former president of the United States will be marching into a courtroom just steps away from where he took the oath of office to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States, Donald J. Trump will once again be accused of being a felon engaged in criminal activity to defraud the people of the United States and rig an election. We'll get to that in just a moment. I just like the dramatic effect. That's coming up a little later this afternoon, and we'll talk about it in just a bit. But first, I want to tell you from a sports standpoint, baseball. It'll get your heart pumping with excitement one day. It'll break your heart the next. And Wednesday was a day of heartbreak for the Brewers when a bottom of the ninth throwing error by Andrew Monasterio allowed two runners to race home and give the Washington Nationals a 3-2 win to take two out of three from Milwaukee, who lost 5 of 6 on the road trip to Atlanta and D.C. Now, they got no choice but to shake it off because they flew home and right away this evening open up a 4-game division series against the Pittsburgh Pirates starting this evening. Adrian Hauser getting the start for the Brewers. You can listen to the Brewers on Civic Media stations, Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 and 1100 AM, and News from the Center and Richland Center, 107.7 FM, 1450 AM. And again, a reminder, about just over 30 minutes from now, we will be giving away 4 tickets to Saturday evening's game against the Pirates at American Family Field. Before much longer, baseball season will make that transition, and America's sports fans will be looking at football season, and that includes the Green Bay Packers on Sunday afternoons across Wisconsin. The Packers can be heard on Civic Media's WRJN in Racine and Kenosha. They'll have every game, and if you have a small business, that business could be in the huddle and part of the excitement by becoming a sponsor of the Packer broadcasts on WRJN. You can talk to the Civic Media marketing team to get you signed up, not just with the Packers, but the Badgers and local high school sports broadcasts. But you've got to call and make an appointment to talk about the opportunity. The number is 608-819-8255. That's 608-819-8255. All right, time to talk about the two big headlines in the news here. And of course, along the way, if you'd like to join in on the conversation, 844-967-2789. Those two things are the redistricting lawsuit that has been filed now that the Wisconsin Supreme Court is controlled by 4 progressive judges. And we'll talk about that challenge in a second. But getting back to the former president, We've said it before that history will be made when former President Trump appears in a courtroom to be formally charged as a criminal. And yet, it's going to be true when we say it again this afternoon. History will be made when something happens that our founding fathers thought about, somewhat anticipated, certainly dreaded, and in some cases probably expected to happen a lot sooner than it did. But it's taken 247 years since the forming of our nation for somebody ruling the country to say, I would like to continue ruling the country because I said so. And so there were checks and balances built in by the founders in many different ways. You had multiple branches of government and independent judiciary. Of course, you had the role of impeachment in the Senate. You have the will of the voters. Now, there are ways to, you know, usurp any one of those things. You had Trump essentially backing into office in 2016 with Russian help, whether he asked for it or not, by the way that voters were communicated with online and how it suppressed voter turnout. You had the impeachment checks and balances, which was perverted when most Republican senators, seeing the overwhelming and obvious evidence against Trump in not one but two impeachments, put their political party ahead of the good of our democracy. But now we will test whether an independent judiciary can provide a check and balance out our democracy when a former president tries to overturn the will of the voters. Trump will be expected to appear at about 3 o'clock Central Time at the U.S. Federal Courthouse at the foot of Capitol Hill, which means that some of the courthouse police that are providing security there today for the president were some of the same police who were having to defend themselves. And I wouldn't be surprised if some of them were among the more than 100 law enforcement officers who were injured by Trump supporters, who were beating them with flagpoles and spraying them with chemicals and engaged in all kinds of hand-to-hand, bloody, deadly combat at the U.S. Capitol on behalf of Donald Trump, who, as we now know, was demanding to be driven to that very same Capitol amid the riot. Because as he said, those are my people. They're not going to harm me. He knew what he was doing. He was trying to stage a coup. He was trying to stage a coup. He knew that the crowd had, the mob had busted into the Capitol, that the counting of electoral votes had been suspended because members of Congress, including his own vice president, were running for their lives. And he expected to go there and be able to claim that there were some kind of irregularities and that either through decree or by corrupt Republican legislatures in other states, they would overturn the will of the voters in states like Wisconsin and that he would continue to serve in power. Now, it probably would not have succeeded. It probably would have led to, again, some bloody conflicts, not only in the nation's capital, but chances are there would have been riots in other cities as well. I mean, honestly, imagine what would happen if Trump had done that and if he had tried to succeed. Do you think everybody would have just stayed home? Not a chance. How many lives would have been lost in those riots and in those battles on all sides? People trying to save democracy, people trying to support Trump as a dictator, law enforcement and military, on either side of that, there almost certainly would have been a rift there as well. And we sometimes take for granted just how close we came to having all of that chaos happen. It only took a handful of people doing the right thing, because there were plenty of people willing to do the wrong thing. Mike Pence managed to do the right thing, even after Ron Johnson was doing the wrong thing and sowing doubt or Tom Tiffany was doing the wrong thing by voting to object to the correct and certified will of the voters in a couple of states. Even at the Wisconsin Supreme Court, there were justices who were prepared to rule in Donald Trump's favor over his false, phony charges of a rigged election. They were willing to go along with him and throw more chaos into the 2020 election. Among those people was the conservative Chief Justice of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Annette Ziegler does not have a leg to stand on when she expresses her unhappiness with the change of control in the Wisconsin Supreme Court, as we shift gears and topics here. We mentioned yesterday that there are now four progressive justices, voted to fire Randy Koshnick, the director of the state's court system. He had run unsuccessfully in 2009 against then Chief Justice Shirley Abramson. Shirley Abramson did not remain as Chief Justice because the conservatives changed the rules of the game about who could serve as Chief Justice and set it up in such a way as to rip the Chief Justice title away from Justice Abramson with her level of seniority and experience and give it to conservatives like first the now retired Pat Rogensack and now Annette Ziegler. Ziegler yesterday accused her progressive colleagues of, quote, the raw exercise of overreaching power in firing Koshnick. Even though it's hardly news that elections have consequences and that the four justices have the ability to hire a different director who would run the court system in a way that would engender trust. So Ziegler can throw out all the criticisms that she wants, but this is somebody who, along with Justice Rebecca Bradley, voted in favor of a case that would have overturned the will of Wisconsin voters in 2020. So when you look at, shall we say, political norms, again, the justices don't have much of a leg to stand on based on their past actions. They know that the court over the past 15 years has become ideological by their design, through their rulings, through their refusal to recuse themselves in certain situations, through their conduct in some of these high-dollar, nasty campaigns. They can't hide behind some kind of false sense of naivete. We're in the real world here, a real world perhaps not of everybody's choosing, but certainly one that was made in part by the way far too many conservatives put political ideology ahead of the rule of law and ahead of democracy. And so to that end, the people have chosen a new justice. They've chosen a new direction for the court. And so no surprise that it led to a lawsuit being filed yesterday asking the newly constituted Supreme Court to throw out the conservative-drawn legislative maps as unconstitutional. We've talked about this for many months here on the program, that while the current maps were upheld by the former conservative majority and a conservative majority on the U.S. Supreme Court, this new case brings up new legal arguments as to why these maps do not reflect the will of the people, how they are not in support of democracy. And there is every reason to believe that a state Supreme Court that is based more on respecting the will of the voters than one particular ideology or party will indeed lead to the creation of new maps. Will they be done in time for the 2024 elections? That's the great guessing game right now. I would say personally, time is of the essence, much like the Donald Trump case. These things do have to get moving. They have to be done expeditiously, setting aside other things if need be. In both cases, for the good of our country and for the good of our democracy. The wheels of justice, while they turn slowly, need to turn with some dispatch here and be mission-driven. The mission being not speed for the sake of speed, but justice for the sake of justice before the people who are being held to account right now get back in control and put a stick in the spokes of that wheel. We'll be back with Joe Sopecki coming up in just a moment. You're up north. We're back on this Thursday morning talking to our friend Joe Sopecki, as we do each week, a no surprises edition. There's just some weeks where things kind of pop up, and I just don't expect that here, because we know what we got. We got the new justice. We got the president being indicted again. We've got fake electors. We've got, Tom Tiffany being Tom Tiffany. I think we're just going to roll right through these and get Joe's take on all of them, because he can shine a better light on these things than me. Joe, how are you?
I'm good. What a week it's been.
What a week. Let's start with the upbeat news, the new justice, and right away, the new lawsuit filed yesterday by Law Forward and friends looking for new maps. Let's start at the very top. The new justice sworn in, a whole different court, whole different outlook for a lot of progressives in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, and really the culmination of years of hard work. I mean, after 2016, when Donald Trump won Wisconsin's 10 electoral votes and was the first person since Ronald Reagan, first Republican since Ronald Reagan to do that. A lot of folks took a long, hard look in the mirror, and, you know, we tried to, within the progressive space, change the way that we operated, the way that some things were set up, and how we won elections and built power for the long run. And the elevation of Janet Protasiewicz to the state's highest court is really the culmination of a lot of that work. It's the first time in 15 years there's been a progressive majority on the state Supreme Court. And so a very happy day and exciting day that justice, we believe, will now be, you know, partisan blind. This will not be a partisan court. This will be a fair and transparent court who tries to do the work of the people of Wisconsin. You know, Governor Tony Evers often says, his favorite part of being governor is what's written in the governor's conference room. The will of the people is the law of the land. And for far too long, the will of the people has been denied its day in court and denied its ability to make progress on policy fronts, on issue after issue. A new court means that it is more likely that the will of the people can once again be the will of, you know, the law of the land.
So we saw the lawsuit that was filed challenging the current maps, hoping to get new maps for the legislative districts for the 2024 election. So I'm going to start with that bit of speculation first. How likely do you think it is that there will be new maps for all 99 assembly districts and all 33 Senate districts?
Eventually, I think there's a pretty high likelihood. I also think that that may impact the congressional districts. I think the question is timing, right? Yes, they're moving quickly, and the wheels of justice are designed to turn slowly. And while sometimes that can be very, very frustrating, I am not going to sit here today and tell anyone that they should count on new maps in 2024. Democrats are going to have to strap in and be ready to win races. And as we're preparing to win races, we can watch with interest, you know, whether or not we're going to have a court that lives up to what most Wisconsin voters believe, right? Whether they live in, you know, Rhineland or Racine, which is that folks need an equal voice and an equal say in electing the leaders whose decisions impact our lives, right? I mean, that's the notion of a legislative body. It should be the most representative. And for far too long, we've had maps that undermine that fair representation, that in effect erode voter confidence. And because the fewer competitive elections there are, the less people think that their vote matters. And the ultimate impact of that and those maps, these maps that we're operating under now, have been skewed policy outcomes that do not reflect the will of the voters. we can all be, I believe, optimistic that that will change. I just don't want people to be so sure this is going to happen so quickly that by, you know, April or May of next year, when it's time for folks to declare their candidacy and start collecting nomination signatures, that this will all be done. That would be a very, very speedy process.
I wonder as well whether they will, like the past court did, ask for submissions for maps and choose from among them, or if the court, and especially I mean the four progressive justices, will write the map themselves, which is not in any way unprecedented. It's just not what the court, the conservative court, did last time around.
Yeah, and again, both of those paths take a lot of time, right? Mm-hmm. And the other thing I want to remind listeners is, just because the maps should be fairer by the time this process plays out, does not mean that all of a sudden Democrats are guaranteed anything in the state legislature. The way that these maps are going to have to be drawn are still going to have to reflect the way that voters sort to some degree, and many of the provisions of, say, the Civil Rights Acts. And so it's going to be fairer maps. Democrats are still going to have to go out and win elections. So my message to people thinking about running for office or supporting those running for office is, control the things you can control. Get out there, set up a winning campaign infrastructure, run a smart race. The lines are going to be what they're going to be. Now it's up to those seven justices, and the rest of us have a very, very small modicum of impact we can have on that.
Why did the director of the state court system, Randy Koshnick, make a big public thing about being told by the liberal justices that he was probably going to be out of a job? What kind of, was that a case of professional victimhood, or I speculated yesterday, is he already getting set to do another state Supreme Court run in 2025?
Pat, you're going to be really surprised to hear this, but I think that some people in positions of influence and power for too long start to believe that they are a little bit more special than perhaps they are, and that maybe they are a little bit more important to, in this case, the wheels of justice. I'm sure it was hard news to hear. It always is when people are in jobs that they enjoy and feel like they're making a difference in, and they have to give that up. I can understand somebody being a little frustrated by that. I also think, you know, in retrospect, you know, Mr. Koshnick is a smart enough guy to understand it was always going to end this way. It was just a matter of timing. And so if he wants to, you know, avail himself of his First Amendment right to complain about it, okay. But at the end of the day, there's changes afoot, and it makes total sense that the majority of the court would have a person that they want in such a position, and they will soon.
Exactly. I mean, he has the freedom of speech to, you know, carp about this, even though he's had time to, you know, consider just leaving gracefully. And some of us have a First Amendment right to call him a sore loser. So let's move on to a different sore loser. Donald Trump was charged this week. Third time's the charm. This one about going for the throat of democracy. And central to the indictment was the plot to plant slates of fake electors. And we're probably going to get a little into legal hair splitting on this, but, you know, let's go ahead and do that. The fake electors in Wisconsin and elsewhere have said, well, we were doing this as a just in case thing. So it leads to this question. How do you treat the fake electors? Set aside that we'll come back to the president in a minute, but are the fake electors, were they dupes in a Trump plot, and you focus on higher ups like Trump and Giuliani and others, or do you consider them co-conspirators, basically, like kind of like the driver of a getaway car?
It's one of the most important questions. I'm really glad you asked it, because I thought it was one of the most intriguing parts of the speaking indictment that I had the opportunity to read last night. But before we get to that, I just want to take one quick second to remind folks how different this is and why this is different. And that is that, you know, Donald Trump being in legal trouble is not new. Okay. We've frankly become sick of that. What's new is that this is the first indictment that has to do with his conduct as president of the United States. And that makes this, in my opinion, the most consequential criminal case in American history. You know, for 247 years, we have talked a really good game and wanted to believe about ourselves, that no one was above the law, that we were a nation of laws and not of men. We've never really fully tested that proposition. And that's about, that's what's about to happen. And so my first caution to everybody is going to be, don't listen to the folks who run right to the politics or presume to know exactly how this is all going to shake out. We are in uncharted territory here. We need people who are sober and judicious and cautious in their statements. The former president has not necessarily been taking that tone. That doesn't mean that we should match his tone. Now, to the fake electors question, what I learned from the indictment last night for the first time, I don't even think the January 6th committee uncovered this, is that Trump and his unindicted co-conspirators were lying to the fake electors. They were telling them a story. We will only use these if we are successful in court. When they had no, when they knew, the people who were doing the lying knew that they were going to move forward with this plot anyways. And the special counsel's indictment lays out very clearly things like New Mexico. I had forgotten New Mexico was one of the fake elector states because it wasn't even a battleground state. It was a state that Joe Biden won by 10 points. And 6 minutes before the fake electors in New Mexico met, there was a filing just so they could say that there was a pretense to have the fake electors meet. They knew they weren't going to win these cases. And so the fake electors is one prong of a multi-prong conspiracy being alleged by the government. I think they've got them pretty dead to rights. They clearly have more information than the January 6th committee had. And, you know, Donald Trump gets a lot of rights as an accused defendant in our criminal justice system, and he should be afforded all of them, including that he is innocent until proven guilty. But this case laid out by the special counsel is very compelling. If you read it, it reads basically like a four-act, you know, heist movie, or, you know, what they're trying to steal, not the Declaration of Independence, but they're trying to steal our democracy by preventing a peaceful transition of power. And that I for one, take that very, very seriously.
Yeah, as we should. One of the people who went along with this to the degree that he supported efforts to overturn, you know, the will of the voters was Congressman Tom Tiffany from up north. And he decided this week, as did Rebecca Clefish as well, not to challenge Tammy Baldwin for U.S. Senate in 2024. So in terms of what you would call a mainline Republican, the lane is still open, isn't it?
It sure is. Listen, we know Tammy Baldwin is a very formidable opponent. She is a fantastic United States Senator who is delivering for the people of Wisconsin. That's the first reason that it's hard to for Republicans to find somebody to take her on. But I also think it's connected to the last story we talked about. I don't want to rush to the politics of the Trump indictment, but it is unavoidable that this accused defendant is a candidate for president, and he is the leading, you know, candidate to be the nominee of the Republican Party. I think there are a lot of Republicans who saw what happened in 2022 with Trump-backed candidates, who saw what happened in 2020 and in 2018, who are going, I don't know that I want to run on the same ticket as former President Donald Trump, who will be facing somewhere between 3 and 6 ongoing trials. And so that's making recruitment more difficult. There are, of course, two names out there on the Republican side. One of them is, you can't even make it up, another out-of-state multimillionaire. I thought after Tim Michaels they would have learned their lesson. Apparently they're going to try that again. Or a wealthy businessman, I don't know if he's a multimillionaire, he's certainly a millionaire from southeastern Wisconsin, who, based on some reporting by Dan Bice and a conversation with this prospective candidate, has no idea what he's getting himself into. And so tough sledding for Republicans at the moment, tough political environment for Republicans at the moment, all of that can change in an instant. And so for those of you who care about things like restoring women's reproductive freedoms, building power for the long term, making sure the will of the people of Wisconsin is the law of the land, we got to stay vigilant. We got to work hard. We can't take our foot off the gas between now and next November.
Yeah, always many miles to go. Joe Zepecki, thank you so much. Have a great start to the weekend.
Talk to you next week.
it was nice to see Joe Sopecki in person down in Milwaukee, along with Melissa Baldoff. And then I realized after we had lunch and parted ways, I'm like, we didn't take a picture. I had my Tuesday and my Wednesday and my Thursday regular guests right there. And I don't think of the marketing part. I just wanted lunch, which was really nice down at the Third Street Marketplace there downtown. Hey, we're giving away Brewers tickets coming up in our next segment here. So if you have not won a prize in the month of August so far, which seems pretty likely, and can have these Brewers tickets emailed, stand by. Your chance to win them is coming up next. You're up north. Leppard's album Hysteria was released on this day in 1987 after years of delays. For example, drummer Rick Allen losing his arm in a car crash and learning how to play again. Then there was super producer Jimmy Steinman being replaced by super producer Mutt Lange. It all must have clearly been worth the wait because there were 7 singles. There were 20 million copies sold of Hysteria, including Pour Some Sugar on Me and others, released this day in 1987. The Doors had 2 number one songs. The first was in 1967 with Light My Fire, and their second and only other number one song in the U.S. Hit the top of the charts this day in 1968. Of sports notes here, it was on this day in 1852 that Harvard beat Yale in the first boat race between the two colleges. The race is also known as the first ever American intercollegiate athletic event. And can you imagine explaining what college sports is like to those students today? Go back to 1852, try to explain name, image, and likeness. And the big bucks that can be raised through that.
And the Big Ten, also, the Big 12, the 1840 Large Six, all the different acronyms. I have no, or not acronyms, all the different names for the sports groups. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what any of them are.
Explain to the folks in 1852 that it's one thing to take on a school that's, you know, a few miles away, but that someday there would be a conference like the Big Ten that includes schools on the East and now the West coasts, not just the Midwest, which is fine if you're a football team with a mega budget or some other sports. But I think of the golf team, has to fly to California, to play a couple of rounds as part of a college competition. It just seems like madness to me, but that's where we are in college sports these days, Aaron.
Yeah. And especially the thing that's most confusing about those to me is that none of them actually have the amount of teams that their name would suggest.
No, the Big Ten hasn't had 10 teams for a while, nor the Pac-12. No, that's, again, the numbers mean nothing, which seems weird when you're talking about an educational institution. But anyway, what would become the NBA took place in part today in 1949 when the National Basketball League and the Basketball Association of America finalized the merger that would create the National Basketball Association. The number one song this day in 1985 came from Tears for Fears. This was their second number one hit, following Everybody Wants to Rule the World. It would be the number one song for 3 weeks. Birthdays today include actor Martin Sheen. President Bartlett is 83 years old today. Martha Stewart is 82 years old today. And then we thought we'd close out the music break and the history lesson with a little salute to Tony Bennett, whose passing happened while we weren't doing live shows. And today would have been his 97th birthday, but he had passed away a couple of weeks back.
I left my heart. San Francisco.
Tony Bennett from his MTV Unplugged special. He was born 97 years ago today. All right, let's give away some Brewers tickets. To do that, you have to have the tickets emailed to you. You cannot have won a prize in the month of August. It's only August 3rd, so I think you're all pretty good. And you really should use the tickets. They're great club seats. Aaron and I have used them at American Family Field. These are for Saturday evening's game, which I don't have my schedule in front of me. I want to say is maybe a 6:15 game against the Pittsburgh Pirates. So you're going to want to use these four tickets for Saturday evening's game.
It is 6:10, so very close.
6:10, yeah, okay. And so again, remember the studio line number is 844-967-2789. And here's our quirky little question. So dial the phone because your guess could be as good as anybody else's. We actually have the season-to-date statistics for the American Family Field sausage race. There's the bratwurst, the Polish, the Italian, the chorizo, and the good old hot dog. There have been 52 races this year. The poor chorizo is in last place with 7 wins. Then the scoreboard reads 9 wins, 9 wins, 13 wins, and 14 wins. Who's got 14? Who's at the top of the leaderboard so far in this year's sausage races? First correct guess at 844-967-2789. And just like that, you win four tickets to Saturday evening's game against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Tickets have to be emailed to you. So again, just tell us who's won the most sausage races at American Family Field so far this year. As the Jeopardy music plays, I believe Aaron's taking calls. And Aaron, give me a thumbs up if you think that that one on the line is going to be our winner. He's not. He's talking to him. So it could be that he's guessing. Okay. So we'll just say one. Aaron asked me during the breaks, like, wait, are these the same people running all the time? Or no, it's different people. Sometimes it's the grounds crew. Sometimes it's been players, you know, over the years. Sometimes it's been, there have been a couple of celebrities who've done it. And do we actually know the scores? Yes, because as it turns out, there's a webpage. There's a website. The Milwaukee Brewers have it. Aaron, did our caller there really not have it?
They had the incorrect answer, unfortunately.
Oh, gosh, so the tickets are still up there. So again, between the brat, the Polish, the Italian, the chorizo, and the hot dog, who's won the most sausage races at American Family Field this season? If you know the answer, or no, you don't have to know the answer. If you can guess the answer at 844-967-2789, you're going to win yourself some tickets to Saturday evening's Brewers game.
I'll give you a hint. Don't guess chorizo, since Pat already said that chorizo's losing.
Well, yeah, you're right. I did give the last place one, so somebody has a chance to get it. I noted with some enjoyment that two of our favorite guests, State Representatives Francesca Hong and Christina Shelton, once again attended the American Legislative Exchange Council, or ALEC, annual meeting. Now, this is a group that ostensibly is, you know, for any legislators to attend, but it is a decidedly very conservative organization. But because they claim, you know, any state legislators can be part of it, Francesca Hong and Christina Shelton have attended this in the past and have reported on what conservatives are talking about and what kinds of things would like to get passed by legislators. And so we'll look forward to talking to them at some point in the future. I see that they have an article with Eric Gunn in the Wisconsin Examiner, so you can read there about what they have to say, what kind of reception they get, and how it might inform, you know, what is on the legislative agenda for this fall and next year. All right, again, 844-967-2789. Brewers tickets still up to give away. And then, of course, much more in our second hour here on Up North News Radio.